This morning is a little bit different. I'd like to begin with just a little bit of background before we do the reading. The reading is this particular prayer of St. Francis. Francis had a number of prayers, but I chose this one because it comes from the 15th century. And it was a time when we had a vision of the world that's very different from the 21st century. And in celebrating rural communities and farming communities and people who nurture us with their hands and their struggles for life, that we would honor them best from the 15th century than from our present century. Let me tell you why. As long as religion has been around, as many times as you look through all the various forms of religion and teaching, most religions were very much based on nature. You go back to the Vikings and they believed in the god of thunder and lightning, etc. If you go further than that into the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, people really worshipped the powers of earth, but also had a recognition that they were so dependent on the world around them, they couldn't depend on the people who were in charge because they were brutalized, many of them kept in poverty by those who had great wealth. And so they turned to what they knew best and what was available to everyone. That was the understanding that we have this plot of land, and we have this bit of air, and we have this water, and we have the functionality as a community taking care of each other to survive. And so their vision of the world was very much what we want to call creationist. That doesn't mean that God created it all, but they worked and understood with a great reverence and a great respect for the land upon which they walked, even into their dying when they buried their dead in the earth that to them was sacred, that they were doing something that would last forever. A lot has happened since the Enlightenment after the Dark Ages. When the Enlightenment came, many things changed and many good things have happened. The development of technologies that we know today began when people started to use their heads and reason out various things, studying history, studying ecology, studying environment, studying the world order, studying the cosmos, studying the sciences, microbiology, and all the rest. We came to a better understanding of what was really going on. And all of that has produced some wonderful things in the 21st century. In the 15th century, stem cell research was something like quantum physics. Now it's something almost every day, where electricity is something that we have grown to depend on to run not only our businesses, but our homes, our heating systems, our cooling systems. It is so vital to our survival in the nature in which we live that in the 15th century, they had no concept. And so much has happened. Hubble telescope has made space brought right to your doorstep. The space program has made us aware of the cosmos in altogether different ways. And all those studies have given us a great deal of information, and it has given us a great deal of at least intellectual control over the world in which we live. And all of that is good. But that being said, the byproduct of all of that is that we have in many ways begun to abuse the world in which we live. Now, whether you're an environmentalist or not, whether you believe in global warming or just thermal change or whatever, is not the point. The point is that from the 15th century to the 21st century, the earth has changed so drastically because of the numbers of people, because of the changes in nature itself, because once was held sacred like the rainforest that clean the air are being eliminated gradually, and more so today, which changes the whole mixture of our air, the possibility of nuclear energy and all that it benefits also raises the radiation process in our world when there is an accident. We've had two just in the last five years. And those have radiated the atmosphere. And though nobody is getting radiation sickness, the radiation is still there, and it is still alive, and it's still affecting the Earth. Without getting into any campaign, that's not why I'm talking about this. But to understand that we have lost something in the process. We have lost something in the process that not even the churches can make any progress with it. We have been really tied down, silenced, because of the power of our marketing and the power of our economics and the power of our politics. But let us say without any question, it is not the 15th century, but we have lost a great deal. We have lost, I believe, a reverence for this earth. We've lost a respect for nature. And as a result of that, things are changing very drastically. Something is killing the honeybees and the pollination process. Without pollination, an awful lot of the food chain is going to vanish. We have tons and tons of plastic circulating in the Pacific Ocean that eventually is going to find itself into the food chain and is going to affect all of our lives, and on and on. I chose this prayer of Francis simply to draw us back, perhaps to a place where, if we have any belief in God, that somehow we find a purpose. Not to rebel, not to overturn anything, just to reflect, just to be conscious that perhaps something has changed and we have lost our respect for the land and for the people who farm the land, and why it's so difficult for us to have farmers coming out of communities like our own because of the world change. And so I gave you a copy of this so you could look at it and read it and maybe even take it home and consider it. Not that this is any gospel, but it just points out something very real. Francis, you know, was the son of a very rich cloth merchant. And he was born when his father was away at a war, and his mother called him John. And when the father came back 6 months later, he changed his name to Francis. How's that? But Francis grew up in great wealth, and his goal was to be a great warrior like his father. And so he went off and battled several places around the towns where he lived, through the Italian countryside, and was hoping to make his fortune simply by riding on his horse, coming in with his armor, and everybody giving him praise, which is what they did to his father. And then one day, after having experienced death in the battlefield, he came home and took off his armor and started to think. And he couldn't help but try to understand what he had just experienced and what he had been doing and what his goal was in life. And after serious reflection, one day he came out into the square when he was supposed to be honored for his battles and for his winnings in the war. And when they were about to present him with the award, he stripped himself of his armor, he took off all his clothes, and walked away naked and began to live a different life. He left everything behind because he discovered something new. And what he discovered is in this prayer. This came after a number of months that he was alone. But this was his understanding of the earth. Most High, all-powerful, all-good Lord, all praise is yours, all glory, all honor, and all blessings. To you alone, Most High, do they belong, and no mortal lips are worthy to pronounce your name. Praised be you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially Sir Brother Sun, who is the day through whom you give us light, and he is beautiful and radiant with great splendor. Of you, Most High, he bears the likeness. Praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Moon and the stars in the heavens. You have made them bright, precious, and fair. Praise be you, my Lord, through brothers, wind, and air. and fair and stormy in all weather's moods, by which you cherish all that you have made. Praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Water, so useful, humble, precious, and pure. Praise be you, my Lord, through Brother Fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong. Praise be you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, producing varied fruits with colored flowers and herbs. Praise be you, my Lord, through those who grant pardon for love of you, and who bear sickness and trial. Blessed are those who endure in peace. By you, Most High, they will be crowned. And praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Death, from whom no one living can escape. Blessed are they, she finds, doing your will. No second death can do harm. Praised and bless my Lord, and give him thanks, and serve him with great humility. I skipped out the part, woe to those who are caught in mortal sin, because that's very much the Catholic thing from the 15th century. But you get the idea of what he's talking about here. All of creation is a family unit. It's personal. It's personal to each one of us. And only if it becomes personal to each one of us can we say we are living as God would have us live. Whether that's 15th century thinking or modern, the conclusion is the same. We are called to live, we look for God's purpose. And God's purpose is found simply in our respect for what surrounds us, for what we did not earn, for what we did not create, for what was given to us, and given to us as a trust. That it is not just for ourselves, but it is for everyone. That it is not just for those who have the ability, but it is for all people of the earth. That it's not just for us, we don't own it. And so we need to guard, protect, and honor it. The earth, creation, is really a place of journey. It's where we come to journey from birth to death, and hopefully beyond. But it is a place where we journey. We are not here any longer than our lifetime. Think of the billions of people who have gone before us, many of whom we never even would consider, who walked this same earth with the same egos, the same needs, the same outlook, and maybe the same perspectives and hopes that you and I have today. And they have gone. We are here. This is now. And however you and I individually respond to the invitation, I believe, is very, very clear. We are the people of the earth. We are the family of God. And in this place, to the best of our ability, let us live with that trust. And as we go from this place to live our individual lives, let us recognize that that trust is extended through us to the world we touch. In Jesus' name, amen.